Hey, everybody, in this episode of the GH Report, Jordan and Ryan have that awkward conversation through prison glass. Maxie fails at bringing Dante home to Lulu, and you know what? It's the return of my favorite location in GH. That's the park. Oh, boy, we're going to have fun making fun of that scene. Take care. We'll see you in a second.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the GH Report. Let's check out some scenes in a really dopey-looking park. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the GH Report, bringing on all the latest goofiness happening there in Port Charles. I am Frank Moran.
I'm Carla Renata.
And as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and, of course, the chat is up and running.
It is. Let's do roll call. Joe Costanzo, Dagadegu, I think that's how you pronounce it. Osei, did you see? What's up, Osei, did you see? Tom Clev, Dulamon, Kelly Public Cover, Barb P., Lisa Wagner, Michael B., Loretta. Let me see. Who else did I miss? Susan Russo, Enrique Galvin. And I think that's just about... I said Barb P. I think that's everybody. Welcome, y'all, and CM Smith. Hey, CM Smith.
Oh, yes. And folks, we'll be breaking down all the latest happenings there. We'll do a little news and gossip at the end of the show to round it all out. But before we dive into things in detail, Carla, what did you think of the past week?
I was living for Shiloh's behind coming out of jail yet again. He's like the Teflon Don.
That is true.
I'm he's not the Teflon Don. He's like a roach. Like, no matter how many times you step on him, he just won't die.
He just keeps coming back. Yeah.
I just was like, oh my God, what is happening? I cannot. And so I'll get to Nina in a minute, but let me just talk about Shiloh right now. Somebody gonna come for him.
I think they're setting up them a murder storyline, right?
Somebody's going to come for him because now he's starting to make enemies everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I love how Christina just went. She was like standing her ground and was all up in his face like, And then when Sonny came up, like he didn't even try. Like he don't even mess with Sonny. Like Sonny's the one person that he doesn't pop off to. He's the one person. Like everybody else, he got much dialogue. But Sonny, he didn't pop off to Sonny when Sonny was like, yeah, you like a cockroach. And Sonny put his foot down and went like and squeezed it. Pure comedy. And he bounced and had poor little Daisy with him, which I heard y'all say in the chat room, she drinking the Kool-Aid. She truly is.
My parents cut me off from my trust fund. I don't know what to do with the money.
You know, Daisy. I'm like, she's like, Christina, we need you back. I was like, girl, really? Oof. Get your life. Go home to your parents. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Stop drinking the freaking Kool-Aid. And then there was a moment. So there was that moment with Christina, and then there was a moment with Sonny, and he had an altercation with somebody else. Who was it? Oh, Harmony.
Yes.
When Harmony went in on him, she was like, yeah, and I'm saying this to you, and I'm done. I'm like, okay. I was living for all of that. I was also living for all of the Albrecht stuff. But everybody, I love how everybody walks in her room and they're all like, yeah, nobody pushed you. Like, why does nobody believe that somebody pushed her?
I don't know why you wouldn't believe that. I mean, sure, she's been a person that's done a lot of bad things throughout the years, but that doesn't mean that you can't, like, you should automatically say, like, nope, you were wrong about this. Before we dive into Albrecht, though, I want to say as we've talked about here and kind of speculated in the past, if they decided to do a murder mystery with Shiloh right now, so say they killed Shiloh tomorrow, out of all the potential suspects that we've seen on canvas, which one of those do you think they would make the murderer?
Ooh, that's a good question. Who do I think would be the murderer? Good question. I don't think they would make it Sonny or Jason because that's way too obvious. Like, that would require, like, no thought process whatsoever. Or Sam or Christina or Alexis. It might be Dr. Neil, though.
Yeah, I could see them because I figure it's going to be somebody that you can't dispose of, a Sonny or Jason or anybody at that kind of level. So I feel like it's got to be somebody that we've seen, but that if we lose them, it's not a big deal. So I feel it'd be Harmony or Daisy would be my choices.
I'm thinking either Dr. Neil or Brad.
I mean, Brad is low enough that you could lose him.
Because Brad is kind of like, he's losing it. Like, the fact that he went in her room and was going to try to take her out with that needle and he got busted by Nina. I'm like, oh, you're just getting brazen. He's just brazen now. He's just doing stuff in plain sight. Like, what is wrong with you?
I mean, I could see, I mean, Brad's motive would be just to stop Shiloh from exposing the truth. Mm-hmm. I suppose that could be the reason to kill
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want the truth to come out. But I think it probably will end up being Brad, because Brad, out of everybody, Brad has the most to lose. Because he's the one who's harboring that big lie. He's harboring that big old lie, knowing that Wiley is not his kid, knowing that Wiley belongs to Nell and Michael. I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for that revelation to come out, because it's going to impact so many people. It's going to impact Nell. It's going to impact Michael. It's going to impact the Quartermains. It's going to impact Sasha. It's going to impact Nina and Val. That little nugget right there is going to impact so many different people. It's going to be interesting to see how that falls out.
My only, because of that, that is my one reason to not think it'd be Brad, because I feel like that storyline of Wiley's true paternity mm-hmm. has so many ramifications that I feel like to lump that in with Shiloh's murder, I feel like Brad gets consumed by that. I feel like you want to see him getting chewed out by everybody and anybody.
Or it might be Lucas. Because you wouldn't think that would be, Lucas has the most to lose. He's a doctor. His license can be taken away. His marriage is going to fall apart. And you haven't seen that much of Lucas to begin with. So if they got rid of him, it would be like, you know?
I almost feel like he's too high profile, but we'll see. All right.
This ain't in the chat room. They hope it's Heather Weber.
bring her out.
Bring Heather out. Where is she? Stone Cliff, Pine Cliff, whatever it is. Whatever the name of that place is that they put the people, because there's the one where they put people that are just okay.
And
there's
Ferncliff.
Ferncliff, that's it.
That's right.
Why did I say Pinecliff? Ferncliff, and then there's the other one where they put them where they really are like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So
you were mentioning Albrecht. So we do see Franco and mm-hmm. Liz, but mostly Franco. Mm-hmm. A little sleuth. He's looking through the photos from the wedding party there on the yacht, on the Haunted Star, and they see some shoes. And they're like, oh, wait, there's probably somebody else there that could be the person.
Mm-hmm. First they saw the shadow, and then it moved down to the shoes. But the thing that made me laugh about that is when they went into the room to have the conversation with Liesl about it. Liesl and Elizabeth was pressing her, trying to get her to, you know, fess up. And Liesl said, oh, I can't stand the fact that you married this QP doll. She called it a QP doll. I said, oh, no. Now we're going to call folk names. And how long are we going to keep her in the hospital? Like, she's not dying. Like, why is she still in the hospital? I don't understand that.
What I also don't understand, too, is... Like Franco, like going into a room and like, what's going on? Albrecht, you got to tell us, Liesl. She doesn't have to say anything. She doesn't need to say anything. She's just like, I think I got pushed over by somebody. So who cares what secrets I'm harboring? I don't need to tell you my secrets.
No. Oh, they're saying in the chat room that they think Chase might be the one to bump him off. Or they said that Shiloh will kidnap Wiley and Nell will hunt him down and kill him. Shiloh.
Ooh, Nell's
that
a good one.
That actually would be a good one.
That
would be good. I would love that.
Because you almost want to see Nell have, because she, you never got to see her be truly vicious. She always got thwarted at the end. So yeah,
she was always vicious, but she was psychologically vicious, not like physically vicious. But yeah.
Ooh, so, yeah, I like that. Nell's a good call, guys.
I love that. And then let's talk. Okay, and so I had to talk about this. I love the scene that Sonny had with Ava, where he was like, I'm going to need you to keep your little psychic situation to yourself, because now Avery's like, oh, can I talk to, what's the boy's name?
Oh, Nicholas?
No, not Nicholas. Her brother, Avery's brother.
Oh, Morgan.
Morgan.
Yes.
I knew it was an M, and I was like, it's not Michael. Michael's still living. So he was like, because she's asking, can she talk to Morgan? Because mommy's talking to Kiki. Can I talk to Morgan? He's like, I'm going to need you to keep that little situation to yourself. And how do you feel about that? Do you feel like Sibley was real with that whole conversation that Ava had with Kiki on the roof at GH?
You know, because
it sounded like the dialogue sounded like Kiki, but I'm like,
But then it was interesting because you think, like, if you were trying to con somebody to keep wanting them to do visits with this, I think you would make it a more positive experience. because you'd want to be able to talk to them more. To have, because I think if you were talking to somebody, commuting with somebody that you thought was dead, and that person like said, "Nope, I never want to talk to you again," would you want to keep spending money just to only be told no and no and no and no?
I wouldn't, but I see the psychological situation that Sibley has placed on Ava, because I think she did that on purpose. Of course, she said some things that only, like that situation where she said to Ava about Kiki slapping, as Kiki, she said that Kiki slapped her, and Ava saying back, "You only get one." Mm-hmm. Nobody would have known that except the two of them. So that was the only thing that made me go, oh, she might actually be the real deal, which is probably what Ava thought too. And Ava also thought, she didn't make it a positive experience, so that means it must be Kiki, and I'm going to keep trying to reach out to Kiki until we make this right, which is almost like a ploy of Sibley's to keep gouging her for money. But the thing that made me raise an eyebrow is when she said, you know, can you get in touch with Nicholas Cassadine? And she was like, I can't reach him. Which made you go, oh, shit, well, is he still alive? Is he coming back to Port Charles? What's happening?
Yeah, but also she said, you know, the next time I won't even charge you because I know this one went so terribly. So the fact that she would say I won't charge you makes me think like, is she pulling a con, or is she really
I feel like she's pulling a con. I do feel like I think she's dialed in to a certain extent, but I feel like she's pulling a con.
But
I'm conflicted about it. You know, like I said, I'm conflicted because there was that moment about the slap. Like, nobody would know that but yeah. Ava and Kiki, right? And I was just like... And the other thing that makes me think is a con is that moment that they had where Sibley goes, oh, the view up here is so great. This is one of Kiki's favorite places. Well, Diva, if you're supposed to be so psychic, you should know that that's one of Kiki's favorite places, A. And B, you should also know that there's that brick dedicated in her memory if you're supposed to be so psychic. I'm just saying, why does she not know those two things? That was interesting to me.
But if it is a con, I'm wondering what the larger story points are for that. Because is it just, okay, she's conning Ava. Ava figures it out. And then what? That doesn't seem like much of a story.
Ava might kill her. Because Ava might, you know, because Ava's
got to kill somebody.
Ava's already on the edge anyway. Like, she's on the edge of losing her mind, just like freaking Kim was with Oscar. She's, like, right on the edge. But Annie Goin did bring up something interesting in the chat room. She said the way homegirl stuffed that money in her bra makes her think she's a fake. That's actually a good point. That's a good point, because somebody that is on the up and up ain't stuffing no money in a bra like that.
Where are you stuffing money, then? If somebody gives you something and you're on the up and up, where are you putting it?
You putting it in a wallet. You ain't stuffing it in your bra.
Well, what if you didn't bring a wallet with you?
She had a wallet. She had a whole purse. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. As somebody who stuffs money in their bra all the time, I'm just saying.
Wait, you running cons all the time?
I'm not running cons, but I tell you what, if it's something that I don't care too much about, that money's going in that bra. If it's something, I'm just saying. Side note. So I had this aunt when I was growing up that she had the biggest chest ever, and she would always stuff in her bra. Like, there would be pencils and candy and change and money, like all packs of cigarettes, like all kinds of stuff would be in that bra. And her name was Mama Clee. You'd be like, "Mama Clee, do you have any guns?" She's like, "I don't know, baby, let me see." And she would just go digging down. It was hilarious.
Wow.
It was pure comedy, and some of the stuff that she would pull out of that bra was hilarious to me. And that was a side note, but I'm just saying, yeah. If she's stuffing that money in that bra, she might not necessarily be on the up and up. That was a really good point, Andy Goin. Thank you, girl.
It, because you know, we do see, like, Christina is like, "Hey, yeah, I'm willing to talk to you, Ava, about buying into that this is true." But then we've got other people saying, no, she's a charlatan. You cannot trust her whatsoever.
Everybody's saying that to her.
Christina was, like, siding with her, like,
"Oh." And yeah, Christina was like, "Oh, you know, she helped solve that murder mystery in whatever town that was in." She was like, "You know, she's the real deal." And they were like... They were like, "Shut up, Christina." Nobody was trying to hear Christina on that. They were like, "Yeah, shut." They were like, "Shut the hell up. We are really not trying to hear you on that right now. You just got back to town dealing with the Shiloh mess. We're not trying to hear nothing you got to say in this moment." It was funny. That was pure comedy right there. Another thing that... the other moment that I loved was the moment between Maxie and Lulu. when Lulu popped off on her. She was like, oh my God, why did you do that? Why are you like thwarting his progress? This is all your fault. And then luckily Laura was right there to, you know, bring her back to her senses. She's like, do you really think this was Maxie's fault? And she was like, no.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, I like this because by the end of the week, we get Dante serving her divorce papers. So, I mean,
that
I do
was
like,
sad. That was so sad. But she needs to move on.
I think, and just as viewers, we need to see something different.
Yeah. I'm about tired of her whining about, like, as she was whining about it being a family event and he wasn't there, she gets served with divorce papers. I'm like, youch. That hurt.
By this point, since she's already been doing fake dates, I mean, now that it's official, I'm sure we have a few weeks of kind of like, but she's already been doing these fake dates, and she's been enjoying herself with that. So I'm hoping that means that she can get back into the field sooner rather than later.
Yeah, let's see who they bring in for her as a potential suitor. That ought to be interesting.
Anybody on the canvas now you could see her with, or they would need to bring in somebody completely new?
I think they would need to bring in somebody completely new. There's not anybody that's there currently that I could see her hooking up with. Do you?
Valentine. No, I'm just
not. She can't stand Valentine.
No, I can't. I can't think of anybody. If it had been earlier before they hooked up Chase and Willow, maybe. But now that they get Chase and Willow together,
because they did have a little bit of chemistry happening. But Chase is with Willow, so there's that.
So no, I
and Michael's totally invested in Sasha. I kind of like Michael and Sasha together. They are so cute.
I'm digging it, and I did like Sasha telling Valentine. It's like, well, what's the problem right now? You pay me a lot of money to pull this con, and it's great. It's working. You're not paying me any money now. But you get a wife out of this, she gets a daughter, and I get a family. So what's the problem of keeping this lie going? I mean, we all know it's not going to last forever.
They're saying the couch and Lulu. Who's the couch?
Just the couch.
You
in her
mean
house?
The coach? Is that what you mean, Michael B? Who's the couch? And then Dulamont say, give Lulu a black man. Who's she gonna hook up with? Curtis? Like, get out of here with that.
Yeah, CJ.
Michael and Lulu are cousins. Yeah, that's not going to happen. What else did I like? I also liked that whole conversation that happened between Carly and Sunny about Dev, because there was a whole situation that happened with Dev and Joss in the kitchen that made Joss feel uncomfortable and made her second guess, you know, how she was behaving in her own home. Yes, she was being bratty, but at the end of the day, that's her house. And like Carly said, she was there first. She lives there. That's not his house. Like, how you gonna make somebody feel uncomfortable in their own home? That's just kind of crappy.
You know, what I did like about Jocelyn is that sense of self-awareness she had about herself, knowing that she's still struggling with Oscar stuff, knowing that it's like, yeah, I'm still struggling with this, and he's saying stuff, and I'm acting like this.
Yeah.
That she knew this. And I did like Carly saying there's no timetable on grief.
Right. There isn't.
Which I know, and even Annie tweeted us, she's like, I like that scene about there's no timetable on grief.
I saw that.
And which I completely respect in the real world.
Mm.
But as I've said, in that fine line of soaps, there's only so much I can take. And, you know, you got to watch. There's only so many weeks I'm going to give you, and then I need to see something different. Because I don't need to see a real world timetable on your grief in a soap opera.
Yeah, I just, I cannot.
All right, so speaking of Dev. So, you know, we get him.
And he just got diarrhea of the mouth, don't he? He just says and does all the wrong things. Bless his heart.
And we get that scene with Jason, which I thought was interesting. Because, like, Jason's like, whatever about this kid. But
he gave him some sound advice. He was like, look, dude, he basically was like, you got to read the temperature of the town you're in. You can't just be popping off these cons and stealing stuff from people, not knowing who you dealing with. You know, he's like, if you're going to steal a purse. Stealing a purse from Laura is like the worst person ever could ever steal a purse from. Like, the fact that he broke it down and kind of like took him under his wing was like, dude, come on. But did he learn? No. Because what is he doing? He's on the grass with Trina and Cameron and them. And what does he say? Oh, well, you know, you just pop the lock and you do this and you do that. And Trina's like, are you suggesting that we break in? Is that what you say? That we break in and steal something? Is that what you're saying? And then Joss had to step in and save him. Like, that's a lot going on. Him and Joss going to end up hooking up.
Great.
And that's going to be a problem because Cameron is not going to like that.
Well, we do see that scene where, you know, and I've said before that I kind of like it, is when a character is in a room and hears what people really think about him. Mm-hmm. And so he walks in and hears Sonny and Carly talking about it. And hears specifically why Sonny is invested in helping Dev out.
Lurking in the background, and he heard him, yeah. And smiling the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen rumors and stuff on the internet that are like, hey, you know, there's somebody else that's kind of running Dev. It's not just Dev here, that somebody else could be doing that. Mm. People are suspecting it could be Alcazar running Dev to try to screw over Sunny. Whether that's true or
that's
not.
That's good.
I feel like it, the story's not enough for Dev to be here, so I guess there's got to be something else underneath it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, there's no coincidence that that boy showed up in Port Charles to specifically get to Sunny. Like, there's a reason for that. We just have not been privy to what that reason is, and we're pretty confident as viewers and fans that whatever it is up to no good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at how he was introduced to us. This boy don't have a decent bone in his body.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he did come back to help them out, so...
It's a ruse. He's doing what he needs to do in certain situations to stop suspicion from coming on him any more than it already is. But, I mean, we met him doing a con, you know, he's still got shenanigans going on. I don't know how I feel about him.
You know who is not running a con on us at all?
Who's that, Frank?
That is our fans. You know why? They never con us because they're here every week, so loyal. They're not faking it. They're here. And we love them for it. So, folks, thank you so much for watching us every single week. You know, you could be doing many other things, but you decided to invest your Sunday time with the two of us, all sharing our love of General Hospital. So thank you for watching us, as well as all of the great shows. Carla's busy building her media empire. You see her there on the Kirby Critic, there on Black Hollywood Live. You see the American Princess getting close to wrapping up. Howard Stern is here. Carla is slowly closing that gap.
And no.
Yes. So, folks, thanks for watching and enjoying all the shows that both Carla and I do, as well as so many other hosts do here at AfterBuzz. But we're also asking for a little bit of help. So if you get an opportunity, if you can like and subscribe there on the YouTube channel, if you can on iTunes, give us 5 stars and leave a review there. But no matter where you're commenting or jumping in the conversation, you know, just jump in. Let's hear your thoughts. Like these fine people that have been jumping in here today.
Yes, everybody is jumping in the chat. They got stuff to say.
Yeah. So thank you for making us the ESPN TV Talk.
Yes. I was also going to say that I loved seeing Jordan have that moment where she was just kind of dancing around with her little her music thing and her little earbuds in, just kind of dancing around, getting her groove on, and Curtis walking in on it. That was really cute. But what I kind of was annoyed by was, why did she go to visit Ryan, and why did she have on her police officer uniform, the white shirt and the black pants? I'm like, for real, though?
Yeah.
So you can't just dress it. You just can't wear a sweatsuit to go see him and pet. Like, I'm like, okay.
What I did like, though, is that she did not fall for any of Ryan's
shenanigans.
Like, you have my piece of me in there.
And she was just like,
corrupting you.
And she was just looking at him like, okay, all right.
Yeah, and I did like, it's like, you know, the option is I could be dead right now. So it's like, you know, I may not like how I got it, but
she thanked
alive.
Him. I think she just wanted, she knew that they got it by any means necessary. Like, she knows that. But I think she really just wanted to say thank you because... You know, she was grateful.
Yeah,
because she knows that she wouldn't be there if it had that situation not gone down, she wouldn't be there. So,
and I do like, and certainly John Lister is, you know, he hasn't been around too much, and I'm sure
no.
he's getting a well deserved
he on vacation
break after doing all the double duty that he's been doing.
Yes,
but you know, given the end of the Ryan storyline, where people are like, I'm ready to see Ryan, you know, pay for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, I'm liking Ryan as just a potential story ticking bomb. At some point, they could break him out of jail or whatever. Mm-hmm. That he is just there.
He's just there, lurking in the background.
Yeah, and when the writers want to pull that trigger, they could do some cool stuff with him. So,
they will absolutely.
I'm happy with that than having him just be killed off.
Absolutely. I liked that they were trying to infiltrate Hayden in and out. This is what I really liked about this week. I love the fact that at the beginning of the week, there were all these heart-to-heart talks going on. At the beginning of the week, this person was having a heart. Hayden and Laura were having a heart-to-heart. Julian and Ava were having a heart-to-heart. Carly and Sunny were having a heart-to-heart. Jason and Sam were... Like, there were all these little... moments where people were having these heart-to-heart talks, and then at the end of the week, people was just getting busy. Like, the end of the week was just everybody hooking up and getting busy. I'm like, well, okay then. And now we're back to normal.
That's true. Of the heart-to-hearts, the Jason and Sam, ugh, come on.
I know you hate Jason and Sam, but I love them.
Oh, when they're sitting in there on that bed.
I love them so much.
And she's, that's, just repeat never to me. I was like, oh, gross.
It was cute.
No.
cute.
Just be romantic with me.
It was, she was like, don't pretend like you don't know how to be romantic. I was like, yeah, girl, tell him.
Ugh, gross. I was not thinking that whatsoever. Now, you did bring up Jordan mm-hmm. and Curtis. Mm-hmm. I mean, sadly, their little lovey-dovey scene there on the couch was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was snoozeville.
Oh, yeah, move that along. Right. But I'm finding Curtis kind of interesting right now because he is...
They've infiltrated him into a lot of different storylines, and they're giving him more to do. So it's... I love that they're letting him have more time and giving him more to do so that we can really see him flex his acting muscles, because he's a really good actor, and they don't give him a lot to do. They mostly would just have him standing there looking fine, as he always does. But they would just have him standing there looking cute, and they wouldn't give him a whole lot to say. And now they're starting to give him more to say. They're starting to give him a little bit of a backbone, especially when he's speaking to Valentine. You know, Valentine was trying to pressure him for more information about Jax. He's like, so... You hired me to do that job, but let me do my job. And you kind of, like, stay over there in the corner. And he bounced. I was like, oh.
Yeah, do you want me to do it fast or you want it done right?
I was like, well, okay then, Curtis. You better have a backbone.
How do you think Drew's going to react, though, to whenever it comes out that Curtis has been really kind of...
He's not going to like it, you know. He's really not going to like it. And it'll be interesting to see how that... It'll be interesting to see how that piece of information affects his relationship with Drew and with Nina.
Well, I mean...
Because Nina's already walking around with one eyebrow up.
Well, I mean, Nina knows, like, you know, telling Curtis, like, all right, so now all that information you get in Valentine, I want you to tell me first, because I want to be in the loop.
Because mm-hmm.
Valentine's trying to keep me out of it. Mm-hmm. I want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like Drew's going to probably, when he does find out, he might be irritated, but I think there's going to be a part of him that says, I ran over his wife. All right. I can't be too mad. She lost her kidney. They got medical bills. I can't be totally mad.
Well, but he's still going to be mad because Drew overreacts to everything.
You know,
think about it. Every time Drew finds out that there's been some kind of betrayal, he overreacts to everything. Everything.
The one thing I do like about Drew, though, is like this scene with Hayden when Hayden and him first kind of interact there.
And again, he overreacted to that, too.
You know, I mean, until
she called him down. He was like, okay, what's the real deal? He was ready to go. He was ready to go in on her, both barrels blazing. And she was like, I'm not here for you. Calm down.
True, but if you found out, I mean, that somebody that had run a scam on you tried to convince you that they were your real wife, and then it was just, you knew it was just a lie the whole time, wouldn't you be sore if they came back in town, even if it wasn't for you?
I mean, it would ruffle my feathers, sure, but, you know, like, it just cracks me up that anytime anything is going wrong lately, they want to throw it on Hayden. Like, yeah, she embezzled money from GH, so she's just responsible. She's the one that pushed Liesl. She's the one that's going to try to take down Aurora. Like, they're just blaming her for everything. I'm like, give home girl a break. Like, just give her a break. She ain't coming back to ruin everybody's lives, but I am very interested to know why she's coming back. Like, why are you back?
Yeah.
What is the problem? Are you there to break up Finn and Anna? Like, what's happening?
That, I mean, I feel like that's going to be... It's not a break, but we're going to find the truth comes out about the baby and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I did like, though, that scene with Drew and Hayden, though, is that I felt like that first time with Drew, that him having that history within the show,
mm-hmm.
because it's, again, a character there that he's had a direct impact. It's not something that's been related to Jason or something like this. This is a direct impact on Drew and him specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, a nice callback. He gave him a sense of grounding. Like, yeah, Drew's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He actually can be affected by mm-hmm. other characters returning on the canvas.
How do you feel about this, though? How do you feel about the fact that very last shot of this week shows Shiloh saying Drew and it was Jason's face?
Well, because that was pre-plastic surgery.
Oh, because I was very confused. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, which is cool to see, like, all right, that's the pre-plastic surgery Drew hanging out there.
I was very confused. I'm like, what is happening right now? I was so confused. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. Is Jason not really Jason? And I'm just like, we've been through this road before. Are we going to go down this rabbit hole again? I don't want to go down that rabbit hole anymore.
It does make me think, because at first I caught it on Fast Forward, and then I rewound it back, and I was like, ooh, is Drew having, while he's playing pool, it's right. His first time, like, a memory is kind of clicking in
right.
for him. But we find out it's Shiloh having this memory.
Right, exactly.
So I'm curious, like, why, I mean, I guess maybe we find out some of the real story.
Maybe Drew is the reason that he came. We thought that Shiloh came to Port Charles because of Sam. Now we're beginning to discover that he really came to Port Charles because of Drew. And whatever it is that Drew, whatever it is that Shiloh has on Drew is on that flash drive that he has in that safe. Because there's that whole conversation between Jason and Drew about the flash drive. He's like, you know, why do I want to just get rid of it? Like, why do I still have it? Exactly. Why do you still have it?
Or maybe it's all a Jacob's Ladder situation where this whole thing has been a dream. GH has been a dream, and it's just coming back to Shiloh still back there.
Oh, that would
Persian
suck.
Gulf. Imagine that.
That would suck.
No.
No, we don't want that. Ooh, we really don't want that. Yuck, yuck, and yuck.
So, all right, I talked about it a little bit at the top. Let us just break down real quick my worst location ever on GH, and that is the park.
The park. Why do you hate the park so much?
Because it is filled with awkward interactions and entrances and exits into these scenes. For example, that scene that you're mentioning with Dev and Jocelyn and Trina.
And then, Cameron showing up on his bike.
Holy cow. So first it's just Dev chilling out in that field. And then Trina, bless her heart, just an awkward interaction. Like, walk through the scene and then just kind of bump into him. Where she has to kind of bend her knee down and pretend that she... Oh, it was such a fake bump into somebody. I'm like, and you're walking through this whole park and you, as a person, even looking on your phone, you would still notice a human being right there. Come on.
Well, you have peripheral vision, so there's that.
So that awkward interaction. And then I look
unless
when Cameron...
you have cataracts, and you're not going to have cataracts at 13, I'm just saying.
And then Cameron comes cruising up in his bike and then just like slams it down on the gravel
that
and then walks away.
That actually was kind of wrong.
Like, what?
And then there was that whole interaction where she was like, why are you freaking out? You're not even supposed to be there till 11. He's like, oh, is that what I told you? I'm like, dude, you don't have a cell phone. You didn't put it in your calendar. Like, any other time we see you with that phone in your hand and now you can't remember what time you got to be somewhere, get out of here with that. Like, what 13-year-old is not going to be looking at their phone and not know what time they have to be somewhere? Get out of here.
And then we have the scene between Michael and Chase where Chase is just walking along that fence, and then that's the awkward entrances, is that just Michael just kind of pops off right off camera, like, no, that's not how you really walk in a park. You would have called to him a long time ago. You were just like, oh, hey, well, look at this.
I can't stand you.
So
they're
awkward.
They're saying in the chat room that GH's park still beats Guiding Light in the bushes.
I've never seen
that. I didn't watch Guiding Light, so I don't know about that. Dagadoo, dagadoo-doo, dagadoo, dagoo.
So rough. I love that location for how bad it is.
Somebody said, Enrique says that he thinks, what is he, who, is it Enrique? Yeah, no. Daga Degu says he thinks that Drew killed someone via friendly fire, and that may be the secret. Shiloh knows.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll find out. I mean, because it feels like whatever the secret that is going on between the two of them, Shiloh's worried about it getting out more for his sake than for Drew's. So I feel like, yeah, if Shiloh killed somebody in friendly fire. But I feel like that would have... I don't know. Everybody like decided to keep it hidden. I don't know.
Kelly Public Cover, I know Cam is 16 years old. I'm just saying 13-year-old as a teen reference. I know they are older teens, closer to high school, junior, senior. Stop reading me.
We do get a nice, speaking of Cam. Let's finish up with the softball. We get that super fast, really kind of lame softball thing.
That was so like, okay, I'm glad you brought that up. That was crazy. Crazy. But let's talk about this. I'm so glad you brought that up. So then there's Michael having that whole situation with Chase where he's like, oh, you broke my rib. But like, if you broke a rib, first of all, you can't breathe to talk if you broke a rib. So there's that. Second of all, Chase left the scene. He kind of like awkwardly moved.
Yes, because it's a dumb location.
He kind of awkwardly moved into his place when Chase left. I'm like, first of all, if you got a broken rib, you ain't moving that quick and that spry. And then there's the scene where they go, where he's in the bed and she's got the ice pack on him. He's like, oh, I know something that could make me feel better. And then they're full on going at it. I'm like, first of all, she's laying on the spot that you're claiming hurts. I can't. I was like, what is happening right now?
That was the quickest softball game for Michael. Because I'm imagining literally he walked in, he took like one bat and then got pinged and was out. Like, way to go, Michael.
It was bananas. And then Michael going, I'm going to sue you. And then Chase is like, yeah, I ain't got nothing.
That's true. Well, then I'll throw you a housewarming party and then take that from you.
That actually was kind of fun.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm glad to see you still have your sense of humor. I'm like, oh my God, y'all are killing me right now.
We also get to see a little bit of Willow and Diane, Alexis, Brad, and Lucas, where it kind of leads into the Shiloh scenes at the end of the week, where everybody gets together and says, you know, Shiloh screwed himself. It's impossible.
He's not going to get out. And then there he is, like the roach that he is.
Following up on that, I did kind of like the turn between Nina while she reads that article about what happened with the cult.
Yes.
And realizes the kind of ramifications of her actions had involving Willow.
And she kept trying to have that conversation with Willow about it, and she kept trying to have the conversation, and they kept getting interrupted. It was just weird.
Yeah.
But I love that, too. I love the fact that Nina actually had some remorse for once, because she's been stomping around, you know, acting all holier than thou because she's with Valentine. And but what that showed is that when it came down to a child, she had some empathy when it came to a child, because she realized that Willow wasn't as shallow as she thought.
Yes.
In that situation, that she was trying to protect her child, which is the same thing she was trying to do when she was dealing with Willow and Charlotte. So that she like had an epiphany. It was kind of cool to watch that go down.
So, folks, before we wrap up, as I mentioned, a little hot news and gossip.
Ooh. AfterBuzz TV News.
And for me, you know, if I'm going to take some time to talk about news and gossip, I'm just going to focus on the news and a hot story featuring my boy, Tristan Rogers, a.k.a. Robert Scorpio. So,
So,
of course, he's officially back to stay.
Yes.
So, being the DA. Now, there's an article with him talking about that he never really wanted to know what's ever happening for his character. He didn't want to press the producers and stuff. But he did let them know that he was never too thrilled about the way that he'd been portrayed between, like, 2012 and 2018.
Ooh.
Because it was just like pop-ins, which kind of served, and I agree, kind of served other stories.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really serve Robert Scorpio mm-hmm. very well. And it's just like him complimenting it and a storyline mm-hmm. or whatever it might
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really happy with the way that the show has been portraying him now. They've given him storylines to focus on him specifically,
mm-hmm.
have, you know, that he's got stakes in this, and now that he's going to be around as a DA,
mm-hmm.
he's got a chance to have some things that are just, like, he can drive a storyline as opposed to being there to help
support other people.
Else.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool.
So I'm a huge fan of Robert Scorpio, keeping him around, doing something like that.
We know this. You say
yes.
it every week.
And he even admitted that he was kind of bummed that he was never treated as like, at least until recently, as a legacy character.
You know, I think that's true. And I think that's really odd that they never did, because he was very integral to the part, to the storyline, especially when the whole Luke and Laura situation was going down. He was very much a part of all of that when it was happening at the time. So, yeah, I mean, they do that sometimes with some people. Some folks just kind of get lost in the shuffle, and I think they take them for granted, and he was one of them.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they're not doing that any longer.
Yay! So, we love him.
Yeah, and we do get to see Jordan at least tell Mac that's like, hey, you're still police commissioner for a while, so...
And then we see her dancing. I love that. I love the fact that she told him that, and then you saw her getting her groove on in her living room. I loved it.
You know, for a character like Jordan, though, it was nice to just see her have that sense of joy, because it's been so kind of dour for her.
Yeah, I mean, she was looking like death warmed over on the bed, and then there was the whole recovery situation, and then there was the bills and Curtis trying to find a way to pay the bills. So it was nice to have them. It was nice to see them have a moment where they were just having fun.
Yeah. You know what, Carla? I always have fun with you every Sunday.
Of course you do.
And I have fun with you, the fans, who decided to join us here because you guys are awesome, have great taste on these Sunday afternoons. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. A little shorter than usual. Our apologies there. It's all my fault. It's not Carla's. She's building a media empire. I'm barely holding my life together. But folks, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Again, we couldn't do the show without you. We love hearing your thoughts about all our speculations, all the crazy storylines. Love reading your thoughts and theories as well, so keep them coming.
Yes.
If you want to stay in touch with either of us after the show, we all know it's Carla. Carla, where can they find you?
No, you can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. Of course, right before the GH Report, you can join me over at Black Hollywood Live doing The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata, where I talk about all things movies, reviews, news, gossip, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to do a wrap-up show on here on AfterBuzz TV for American Princess. It will not be this Sunday, but it will be sometime soon with the showrunner, executive producer, Jamie Dimbo.
Look at this, you know, and the reason that they're coming in is to talk to Carla. To talk to Carla.
That is true.
Very true. Look at that. I am witnessing greatness every single Sunday. It's amazing.
Get out of here.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. We're going to see you back here next week with an all-new episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV. Go find yourself a park and walk around for a while. It's cool.
Oh, my God. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.